Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise your holy name, Lord. Looks like you're bringing things down right on time. Things are popping around the world. Things are popping around out in the universe. Things are popping all over, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that this thing is fixing to start. You're going to have your people prepared to walk into the wilderness, to run into the wilderness, and with all faith, Lord. And I just praise you for it, Father. I just thank you so much that you have prepared us. And we're still searching, Lord. We hadn't stopped. We're still looking, and we're still peeling off layers of dirt off of us. And we just praise you for it, Father. We want to be presentable to you as the bride going into this thing. And we thank you, Lord, that you're preparing us. Lord, I ask for your anointing tonight for each one of us to share whatever it is that you've placed on our heart to share. And Lord, I thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, and that you're going to be leading and guiding, and your Holy Spirit's going to be amongst us, Lord, filling us up with the revelations that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? What is today? Today is the 12th, isn't it? All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Tim.
The lady at work who drives us around, and she's got a friend, and they're both sisters. And for the life of me, I can't remember the friend's name, but she's been dealing with some cancer, and she stood in faith for the pain to go away, but she's still talking about the doctors operating on her because she's got these huge growths in her leg and in her chest. And I wish I could remember her name, but I can't. But anyways, I told the driver lady that we would pray for her friend. Because she's part way there, but she's waiting for a manifestation of the healing. The pain's gone away, but
okay, come on.
Healing and have those tumors go.
Are you feeling?
You'd like to say something, or I can. It doesn't matter.
No, go ahead, Tim. I had to mute Blake and him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, join our faith with Vicky is the driver's name, and her friend. Thank you so much for taking the pain away from a friend, and we would pray that healing would manifest, that they're waiting for one, and they're standing by and in faith, and we want to join our faith with theirs, that your healing powers would manifest, and that you'd be restored and be a witness for everybody that she's in touch with. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, go ahead, Blake. You want me to unmute you? All right, go ahead.
Well, I don't know where y'all went.
What's that?
Oh, there you are. I guess a prayer report. Me and Austin have been praying for each other on that we could be around each other and not do drugs or, you know what I mean, just be around each other, hang out, be brothers. He came over the other day. Drugs didn't get mentioned one time. God did the whole time. Today, same thing. He got here probably ran to the room to walk on here, but man, it's just awesome. He told me that y'all had a good meeting Tuesday. I work all the time and don't really. I at least try to make it on here Thursdays, and it's pretty cool that Austin got to come with me. But I've been praying that we would finally be able to be. Yeah,
and I want to.
Your audio is locked up on you.
Is it on here, on this end?
Yeah. Okay, now, go ahead. I can hear you now.
Could you hear anything he said?
Yeah, I heard that y'all had gotten together and talked the Bible and that kind of stuff. But that's about
it. Yeah, he was talking about how from where we were to where we are now, like before we'd get together and it would be like, hey, Blake, like, how are we going to get high? And now it's like, hey, I just got here a few minutes ago and like we literally ran to his room to get on this broadcast. And it's just amazing God can do is what he was saying. And I had a prayer request.
Okay.
Actually. My family's in Eureka Springs, my wife and my two daughters, and I just pray that they have safe travels on their way home. They're coming home tomorrow. And I pray for a hedge of protection to stay around my grandma's house and for God to keep me and Blake on the right path and in his mercy and just that we stay obedient to the word.
Amen. Lord, I just believe
that we stay in his mercy.
I hook my faith up with Austin and Blake, Lord, and I thank you that your big old warrior angels is all around about them. And Lord, if one of them wants to mess up, that you smack him down right quick so he'll know that he's got to be on the straight and the narrow. And I thank you, Father, that you already have them on that. And it's an awesome time to watch and see these young men run after you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can mute us again.
All righty. It's good to see y'all. All right. Can y'all tell they look alike? Can y'all tell they twin? Them brothers? Yeah. That's Austin on the left. That's Blake on the right. Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
No.
It's Blake on the left and Austin on the right.
Well, while we're looking at you, it's Austin
okay.
on the left.
I was like, whoa. We didn't know.
Yeah.
Love you.
I love you too, buddy. All right. Anybody else? somebody in fellowship found this YouTube of this young man that had photographed the sun as it was in a halo, sort of, and he had a friend that was a non-believer in Planet X. And he told him, he said, well, just go out there and take your welding helmet, go out there and look at it and see what you see, because when there's a halo on there, you can see an eclipse, generally, of what they're saying. I don't know. But anyway, he did, and he took a picture of it, and he saw the sun, you know, like that, but it had a clip out of one side of it. It had a clip out of one side of it, which was telling him that there was a planet coming in front of it between the sun and the earth. And he had numerous pictures of it, and it looks legit. So, and then David was telling us that he had a dream on site where 40 days after you see this planet, it'll hit. So we're just days away, if this is true, what's happening from this planet coming by Earth, dragging through Earth. So that's something to be praying about, you know. Are you in the right place? Because once this thing starts, it ain't going to stop. It's just going to be one thing right after another. Yes.
We got an asteroid passing by us tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's the closest one that's ever been here that didn't hit us. But it's like 31,000 miles away, which is one-third of the distance to the moon. And NASA's supposed to take target practice on it to try their missile defense system for asteroids.
What time, Leon, is it going to come through?
I'm not sure. I just know that it's on the 12th.
The 12th, okay.
So that's today. So
yep.
I was also asking David about that. Could that eclipse have been could it have been the asteroid coming between the sun and us? And he said, yeah, it could be. He's not really sure.
Yeah, well, it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So we could pray for the asteroid, too, that it doesn't hit us.
Well, let's also pray that if they hit that thing with a missile, that some of the chunks don't hit us, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen. All right, Lord, you know what you're doing. Lord, we just we know that you're going to protect your people, your chosen. And whatever you do, Lord, is okay with us because we know that we're in your hands. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else? It looks like also, staying with the news here, it looks like that this false flag event out of Las Vegas is getting out of the hands of the CIA, and it's just being exposed, just like we've been praying that God would expose these people. And there is a civil war going on in the government with the deep state at one side, and of course the Make America Great people on the other side. And it's just, we just need to be praying. We need to be praying for this government. Lord, we just lift up Donald Trump and all the faithful that are with him, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given him wisdom to drain the swamp. And Lord, we thank you for your protection upon all the people that are involved on Make America Great side that are trying to get these evil, corrupt Satanists out of the government, Lord. And we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're going to do it. And it's going to be to your glory, too, Lord. It just looks like that's what's going to happen. You're going to do it, and it's going to look like a supernatural event of just like the dreams you've given us of the dragon drowning the Red Sea. And, Father, we just praise your holy name. And thank you for doing this for us in Jesus' name. Give us a little slack during the first 3.5 years of this tribulation. And we just praise you, Lord, that that's what you're going to do. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody else got a prayer request or praise or testimony? Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I didn't have anything. I'm just seeing who else is on. See if Anna Mack is there. I'm just playing with the computer.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if he was trying to unmute or what.
Oh, no.
I hadn't seen Matt and Anna on. I think Matt's having to work.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else got a praise report, a testimony? Oh, would like to pray about something.
I do have something that we need to, I don't know what you guys did Tuesday, but I think we all should join our faith and protect the brothers and people in California. That is just first by the minute. I can see, I don't get, you know, TV news, but just the internet news I get and the radio, it's you know, horrific down there.
Last count I thought was... do you know how many have died so far? It's been horrendous.
26.
26, okay.
Yeah, have died.
Mm. Yeah, let's pray for them. You want to pray? You want me to?
I'll get it.
Okay.
Okay, Father, we come again to you to pray for the people, the lost, and the brethren in California that you would... protect their lives. Their property is pretty much shot, but protect their lives and bring them around the lost people and use the save people to help them and guide them and lead them towards you, Father. And, you know, this fire is your will, but we pray for a limited loss of life and that the winds would stop and the damage would be cut short from the way it's looking right now. And we ask that you spare as many as you can in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Dave. All right, anybody else? Praise report, prayer, testimony. All right, what y'all want to talk about tonight? Doo-doo-doo. We didn't have anything on the agenda tonight. I would like to talk sometime tonight about why so many of God's people don't receive their healing. You know, just speak a little bit about it. And y'all can help me out. Where'd Blake and Austin go? They got, that's a light, that's that light shining on them. Hey, Austin. Well,
so,
I want
Blake
well,
about what we talked about earlier. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry, I was talking to Blake about what we talked about earlier. And,
oh, you and I?
And I was talking, yes, sir. And I was sharing with him my verse that I had in 1 Corinthians also. And because I feel like it speaks to someone when I go to my bookmark that I had on Samuel, you know, the one mm-hmm. I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's 1 Samuel 2:3, and it says, "Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows done. He will judge your actions." And I was talking to Blake about that.
Yep. That's a good one.
I feel like that's, you know, that's good. Like, I'll be doing really good, and then all of a sudden, I'll be listening to myself, and I'll be saying, you know, the S word, anything like that, and I have to stop, and I have to read the word, and then I read that verse that I had in 1 Samuel, you know, and that's the only back in my life over and over again. And I think it's just one thing that, you know, the devil's trying to hold on to is like, hey, in time I'm keeping that little vice in your life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I do.
Devil don't do that. It's God's plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God's in everything we do, so therefore the devil.
But I keep reading Romans 6, verse 14, "For your master," and this is what helps me. It says, "For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." And that helps me a lot when I'm struggling with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Something I wanted to share.
Well, also, that's good. Thank you, Lord. I just thrills me that y'all are in the Word together. That's good.
But when we put it like that, we were having like a little side Bible study. I don't mean to be rude or anything, but I wanted to share a few things.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we haven't been around each other in a spiritual setting. We've never talked about God together. Except the other day, and like, it's kind of like when I talk to you, Papa, like, I'll get on the phone with my grandpa and talk for hours. Like, he'll have to be like, hey, I have to go do something, you know, like, hey, I've got something. I'm like, all right, well, call me back when you get done with it, you know, like, so we could start this conversation again.
Yeah.
You know? And I've never been like that just because I've never had the Holy Spirit, and I've never had the Word speak to me so much like when I got here, you know, it was one of those things that opened Isaiah 41:10, and it said, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand." There's nothing to worry about.
He's always with you.
You know?
Amen.
Just
There's
something
nothing
I wanted
to worry about. Well, because God's sovereign. He ordains everything that happens around us. Everything that happens around you is already ordained by God to mature you as a Christian. Amen.
That's just, you know, I didn't plan on saying all that, but, you know, see yourself doing something through the Spirit, you do it. You know, you don't fight it. And so when God gives me these messages, I'm sure y'all have seen from Paul, like, I don't mean to, but I just kind of blurt them out, you know, like.
But one thing I've tried to show him, just like I got to learn, is not to cut people off and to sit still. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's better not to talk. And
I've been telling y'all that for 24 years, man.
Well, I had this problem for a very, very long time. Sometimes it's better to, you know, like Ecclesiastes, you know what I mean? There's a part in it, it's better to sit still and not blurt out things and not talk than it is to talk, you know what I mean, and blurt mm-hmm. out things. We cut people off all the time.
But
and
at the same time,
like,
Holy
like
Spirit's
now.
Telling me to say something, I can't help it.
Like now. But anyways, I'm just saying, you know, we're going to let y'all have it, my bad.
Okay. Amen. I was looking for something there. I couldn't find it right quick. Okay, why does so many of God's people don't receive healing? Why don't they get the healing? The scriptures are there and they believe them, but some of them are not getting healed, or a lot of them are not getting healed. Others, they look at and they see other people getting healed. And they know that God gets that God heals, but why don't they get healed? They always wonder that, and they can't be ignored. Those questions can't be ignored. So we're going to try to just kind of dispel a lot of stuff to begin with, and see if we can't find out what the reason is. You know, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, he said there is no respecter. God is not a respecter of persons. Okay, if God's promises of healing apply to any one of His people, they apply to everybody, don't they? They apply to everybody. He says in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Divine healing is not provided for the unsaved, is it? It's only for God's people. Now, that's what we want to try to find out, is why God's people are failing to receive healing. And if you desire to be healed, I'm not talking to people here, but to people that are listening in, if you desire to be healed, you need to repent of your sins and seek God with your whole heart. And when you do that, then you have access to all the promises that God has for you. We have to believe Him and trust Him and what the Word says about Him, don't we? And confess Him with your mouth also. Then you'll be saved, is what He said. When you are born again by the Spirit of God, born into the kingdom and the family of God, you're eligible at any time in your walk to ask in faith for any of His promises. And there's a bunch of them. And if you're a Christian and you haven't received your healing, then what do we need to do? We need to examine our life and our attitudes in light of God's Word, because God doesn't fail. It's to us that fails a lot of times, or most of the time, all the time. Because God doesn't show any respect of persons. And that's contrary to anybody's, you know, that, well, how come old Joe over there got healed and I didn't get healed? Well, God must be respecting persons. Old Joe, he must like Joe better than he does me. That's not what the Word of God says. That don't line up with the Word of God. That healing touch of God is guaranteed to you as well. You know what God said? Jesus said most of the time when the disciples couldn't get something done, he said, it's because of your lack of faith. Some of you are saying right now, I got faith. I know God's able to heal me. But why don't he do it? Well, do you believe that God's going to heal you right now? Well, I hope he will. Well, hope is not faith. That's a great expectation, but it's not faith. Faith is knowing that it's already happened, and you're believing, and you're saying it. It's hope. That's what most of us have. You hope to be healed. You have knowledge. You know God is able to heal, and he does heal. You believe what you've seen with your eyes, but you don't have faith. Faith is believing what you have, not seen. And simply because God says it is so, and you trust him that he's going to do it. That's what faith is. If you had faith, you would have already been healed, right? We have to have faith and trust, I believe, that go together. Faith and trust go together. We have faith that God, that it's going to, it's already been done, and we trust God's going to bring it to pass, right? That's what we do. Jesus said to a man, remember, his faith was weak. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth, in Mark 9 and 23. And what did he say? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And then immediately Jesus helped his unbelief and his faith sprang up. He received the faith that God gives. All we got to do is ask for it. And the thing that he desired became not only a possibility, it became a reality in his life. His son was delivered from Satan's power at that time. And an honest confession of doubt that's coupled with a sincere desire to learn how to believe is a whole lot better than a loud profession of faith that don't work, isn't it? And it's hard to deceive yourself in that matter, and it's impossible to deceive God. Real faith is not hoping that God's going to heal you or knowing that he's able to heal you. It's the cheerful assurance that the work is as good as done, and I like to say it's as good as already done, because God, who can't lie, he's promised it, he's guaranteed it to you to heal you. Now, some people fail to receive healing because they've been taught that sickness and physical suffering is God's way. Y'all ever heard it? Bringing out the best in them, or developing in the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. They believe that they must be patient in affliction and wait until it's God's time to heal them. Well, the time is right now. If you're suffering, you don't want to wait on nothing. They believe that perhaps God is working out patience and long suffering in them. Where is that in the Word of God? It ain't in the Word of God. You know, it's true that sin opens the door for sickness to enter, but all God asks is that sin be confessed and forsaken. God don't say, is any sick among you? Let him patiently wait until God has finished chastening me. He don't say nothing about that. He says, confess your faults one to another now, today, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The promise is the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. God ain't glorified when Christians continue in sickness, is he? Or in the sin that caused it. But he is glorified when they're delivered from both. That long suffering, that patience, all that is a fruit of the Spirit. Ain't got nothing to do with your healing. That ain't a fruit of sickness and healing, is it? And suffering. That's a direct action from Jesus working in our lives to get out sin. That's what that is. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And if God, who never changes, uses that method to teach patience and long suffering, that sometime in his earthly ministry, Jesus would have said to somebody seeking deliverance, "Go thy way, remain sick until you have learned patience. Then you may seek me again, and perhaps I will heal you." It got nothing to do with it, our healing. Nothing to do with it. Now, God has not ordained that the fruit of the Spirit should be developed by the works of the devil. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work that God does in us in our daily walk to destroy the works of the devil, destroy our flesh. That's the work of flesh. Hey, Jackie. Some people out there say, it may not be God's time to heal me. I'll be faithful in my sickness, and in his own good time, God will heal me, should it be his will to do so. And that'd be just like a sinner saying, this may not be God's time to save me, right? Same thing. I'll be faithful in my sin and disobedience, and if I am, then God will to save. Surely he will save me in his own good time. No, that ain't the way his word says. That ain't the way it works. We know that it's the will of God to save everybody, for he said he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come in repentance, in 2 Peter 3:9. However, none will escape except they repent. For Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, in Luke 13:5. And the moment that sinner repents, salvation is his, isn't it? And he don't need to wait and wonder if God's going to save him, but he already knows it. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, in 1 John 1:9. There's a whole lot of people that know that, but they fail to recognize the fact that the same Bible says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, in 3 John 2. Health is God's will for all of his people, and is conditioned on the well-being of the soul. Salvation is conditional on repentance. Healing is conditional on faith, and the great thing about faith is God gives you the faith himself if you ask for it, just like the other guy did when he was asking Jesus to pray for his son. But when God's conditions are known and met, heaven guarantees you the answer. You're going to get the answer, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And in Hebrews 10:23, it says, for he is faithful that promised. Who's that? That's Jesus. A lot of people fail to receive their healing because they don't ask for the definite things that they desire from God. We talked about this earlier, Blake and Austin. Where'd they go? Oh, okay. We talked about this earlier. They don't ask for specific things when they pray. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Or, Lord, heal my body. No, just be real specific. Like we're talking about cancer below. Talk about cancer. You be real specific about cancer. I found out through the years that if you command that spirit of cancer off of them, you don't have to be that specific where you have to say the cancer of the blood cells or cancer of the kidneys or cancer of this or cancer of that. I found out through the years that you just say the spirit of cancer, every one of them has to go. And then you command that spirit of the fear of cancer off of them. They have to go too, because there is a fear in lots of people's mind when they get that fear of cancer on. And then I always command that spirit of death off of them. And it's been real successful through the years. And as, I'm just not trying to put it as a law. But that's just the way I did.
Well, that's go ahead.
No, go ahead, Austin. Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying, like, we were talking about it earlier.
a lot of the guys would be hurting from work, and I actually had a herniated disc in my neck and everything. And, you know, my brother had brought up, you know, if you ask and you believe, then, you know, God will heal you. And then my grandma, it just kind of happened all at once. Like, my grandpa, my brother said that. And then my grandma gave me a book when I was on a pass from this place. And it talked about, you know, he said a preacher had asked him to pray for him. And he said, okay, for what? And the preacher was dumbfounded. And he said, I compare that to going shopping at the grocery store and going in with a shopping cart and coming out with nothing. If you don't have something to pray for, and if it's not biblical, if you're praying like, oh, I wish I had more money, or, you know, I wish I had a bigger truck, then, you know, you can't be upset when you don't get it, because it's not something that you can back up with biblical scripture. It really kind of spoke to me at the time, because there's a lot of guys that, you know, they'd just be like, go up and pray for them. And I'd go up and pray. I wasn't comfortable with praying at the time, but at the same time, I'd go up and pray for them, and it would feel weird. But when I started asking them, what do you want me to pray for you about? It was like the Holy Spirit was giving me the say when I knew what I was praying about. And I know, you know, to some people there, that was just a foreign concept to them. But when they would say, will you pray for me for my kids, that my healing continues, I'd pray for them and be like, do you believe that it is so? And the guys that honestly believed it and said yes, they'd wake up in the morning feeling like a new man and not know why. And I'd be like, you know, you believed in it. You thanked God. And that was one of the biggest things that I've had to learn with this herniated disc is, you know, I'd
be
sitting there.
You don't have that. You don't have that.
No, absolutely. And I'd sit there and, amen. But I would sit there and I'd be like, you know, I've asked God to heal it and I've thanked him for it. And they would say, do you believe it? And I would say, yes, I believe it. And I would. But then the pain would start, and I'm like, how is he healing it if I'm feeling all this pain? And then I talked to my brother, last night, and my grandpa would pray for it, and I talked to my brother last night, and I said, Blake, my throat's hurting, my shoulder's killing me. And he said, Austin, if you pray for it to be healed, you have to believe that it's healed, and you have to thank God for it, and he will fix it. And I woke up this morning, and I was a new man. That, you know, some people can say, you know, you can't fix something that science should, but with God, all things are possible. You know, like I woke up feeling great. I planted some plants for my grandma and everything I couldn't do 2 days ago. And it felt great.
Amen. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And what that means is whatever you speak out of your mouth, that's what you're going to get. If you say, I got a bad back, but while we prayed for it last night, well, no, you just commanded that bad back to come back on you. So you have to be very careful how you talk. You say, I was healed of a bad back last night, and I thank God that I'm healed in Jesus' name. And it doesn't make any difference what your body feels like. It's what the Word of God says, and you keep that up. You confess with your mouth what the Word says, and it'll happen, and it's already happened, and it'll manifest, and you'll be walking in God's faith realm. And y'all are getting it. And that's great. That's awesome, Austin.
Amen. And honestly, it's blown my mind for some time now that, you know, I took a lot of my understanding on my own. But it's crazy, you know, it's not crazy. I shouldn't say that. It's blessed.
You're learning.
You know, there's a lot of things that I've taken, you know, through the Word and everything. Like earlier, my grandpa said, what does that mean? And I said one thing, and he's like, no, here's what it really means. And that's why I'm so glad that I can be here and talk to y'all, is because a lot of what I've, you know, God's given me, and some of the things I've kind of taught myself, but in the wrong, you know, capacity, just for the simple fact that I'm taking it upon, because I haven't had people that were knowledgeable and actually wanted to learn God like everyone here. And that's why I'm just blessed and thankful to be here. And if you'd asked me a year ago if my brother would be teaching me something from scripture, I would have told you that you're crazy. I'm being dead serious.
I know.
I would have told you who. He might look like me, but I don't think he's going to know who God is. And you know, that was just speaking badly. Because now the two people that have helped me a lot is my grandpa and my brother. Like, they've really helped pull me out. And they've helped me actually get the correct meaning to a lot of things that I was taking my own meaning upon. And that's why I pray for knowledge, and I pray to, you know, decrease so that God can increase in my life. And once I start humbling myself, and I'm not going to, you know, act like I'm above anybody, the one thing that I struggle with, honestly, is vain. My grandpa knows this. We were talking about it just earlier. And I prayed to God one time that he humble me, and the next thing I knew, I had no wife, no kids, no finance, and thought that I was going to be living on the street when I got out of the program. And through being humbled, I found more fruit in the Word and actually got to focus on that, because things of this world were not bothering me, and I didn't have to think about them because they'd left me, honestly. You know, my wife said, I'm done with you. I'm taking your kids. And it got to the fact that my only answer was God. And since then, since I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and turned towards God, like I said, if he doesn't do another thing for me in my life, he's done enough. And I'm just thankful for that.
Amen.
I'll mute myself again. You know how I get. I'll just start rambling.
Yeah.
No, we get on this subject, I could go all night. We only got 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about being specific with our prayers.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Who was that, Blake? Hang on.
I want to pray that not only does he stay fired up like this, but that he also hears what other people say. He said that he learned a lot from me and my grandpa. Well, it wasn't me and my grandpa that taught him a lot. It was God having mercy on him to open up his ears and his eyes. I don't know how many times that we sat there in this group right here and prayed for him. Debbie and Fran, Dave, everybody in this group. Y'all prayed for me countless times. And one prayer that we always pray is that God will come through him, or come at him, or come to him in the night like he did all of us.
I had a vision of dreaming, or of flying.
We didn't ask for God. You know what I mean? We couldn't. God knew that we couldn't seek him ourselves, so he did it for us. And it was through prayer, and it was through Andrew, Jackie, Debbie, Frank, Wade, Leon, Dave. It was through all y'all, and you know what I mean. And it's crazy. You know.
Can you read this for me?
Austin, let me read this. It's Psalms 111, 1. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with godly people.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Here's something y'all need to know. If you stay around ungodly people, that ungodliness will get on you. If you stay around godly people, then that godliness will be on you. In other words, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So that's something to bear in mind.
If you lay with the dogs, you'll get the fleas.
That's true. That's right.
Honestly. Hey, you stand outside a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, Amen. Man, God's... He's taught me how to be more quiet. He hadn't taught him that. He hadn't taught him that just yet, but he will in time.
I haven't been there yet.
As a newfound Christian, we get excited.
Yeah.
We get fired up.
Hey, I don't care if I'm a new Christian or an old Christian. I'm gonna get fired up.
And you know what I mean. And y'all show a lot of mercy and grace towards us.
We know we're loud.
You know. Dave definitely does. Dave's another, like, golly. But, you know, y'all showed a lot of mercy, man. And Papaw told me when I first got to Tennessee, he said, these people love you more than your family. And I was like, I don't even know these people. But y'all do, you know what I mean? Y'all really do. Y'all care how our day's going. Y'all care if we're following God the right way. But man, this whole outreach program and UBM itself has taught me how to be quiet and sit down and be quiet, you know.
When is that going to kick in?
It's not me and my grandpa, and it's God giving us the words to say to him at the right time.
Well, I have. Can they hear me?
He doesn't want to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I've prayed, and my grandpa and Blake know this about whether I should go to Tennessee or not. And I keep going to Isaiah 6, and it beside it from someone years ago, they wrote, "Be willing to go." And I keep opening to this because it's 6th day. It says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to the people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And when I asked God for a word, whether I should go to Tennessee or not, that's what he showed me. Like, don't be afraid, go. You know, and that's why I know that I will be in Tennessee very soon.
Well, I had a dream that he was hugging me outside of David's house.
There.
In the 30 days I was in Tennessee, we were blessed enough to have, I think it was 2 families, Debbie and Frank, and the guy that owns a lot of tractors, I don't know his name.
Matt
and his wife. We were blessed enough. At the time I didn't think it was a blessing because we had to move all their stuff, but, it was, but we've really been blessed, and, that's all we're going to say, but...
Yeah, we'll cut ourselves off a little bit. We'll go all there right. All the time. Our grandpa knows it.
But thank you, Debbie Frank. Thank you, Leon.
And thank you all for being here for me. Tuesday was amazing, and Thursday is just as good.
All right.
We love you.
Love you too, brother. All right. Now I got the mute button on. Thank you, Lord. That's good, boys. We were talking about being specific in our prayers. Y'all remember the story about the 2 blind men that were sitting by the wayside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, what'd they do? They went and hollered at him, "Have mercy on us, Lord, thou son of David." And you know, they were addressing Jesus right then. They wanted God to stop and heal them. But they didn't ask him for anything specific yet. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, "What y'all want? What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they replied, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." There it is right there. "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And it was definite, specific. And what happened? They got their sight right then. When you come to God for healing, state your specific need. God's promises says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name," John 14:21 or 13, "that will I do." Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. And that's, you know, it's happened all through my life on the streets. And somebody, I'd go up to them and I'd ask them, do you believe, are you a believer? Yeah, I'm a believer. I can tell they were in pain. I said, "What is it that you would like God to do for you?" "Oh man, I need this prayed for, or that prayed for." And God immediately would answer their prayers for them. And it just amazed them. They'd never had that happen to them before. Most of the time when you're asking somebody what they want to pray for, you know, make them be specific and to the point. And when you do, then you can command that thing to go from them and they'll be healed. How many of you ever heard preachers say, you know, God heals if it's his will. If it be thy will. I've heard that coming out of preachers' mouths and that just cringe when I hear it. There's not a scripture in the Word of God where Jesus denied anyone from healing. Only time that he said, "If it be thy will," was when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried out in agony. And he said, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, he wasn't praying for a promise that God had already given him. He was not praying with a desire to change the circumstances. And even though it was Jesus praying, what happened? The Lord told him, you got to go through this, son. You got to go through it. And he just changed his, he said, whatever your will, it's going to be your will that's done, Lord, not mine. It was simply an agonizing cry of Jesus' struggling soul that was crying out to the Lord. Remember what happened at the tomb of Lazarus. That's a great one. And this is a real good teaching tool here. Remember what Jesus said when he went up there? He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You say that. I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. And then what did he say? Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? That body couldn't do nothing but get up and come struggling out that cave, could he? That he had to. Now, if you look at that verse, the verse right there in John 11, he says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You know God's hearing you. You got to know that. We all have to know that God is hearing our prayers. And I knew that thou hearest me always. And I know that you hear me always, Lord. And I thank you that my healing has been manifested already. I thank you, Lord, that I've been healed. When you pray for healing, we're praying for that which God has revealed to be his will. And it's good to seek the will of God, and it's good to pray in accordance with his will, isn't it? James 4:13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain, for that ye ought to say. If the Lord will, we shall live. And do this or that. That's the way you ought to talk. In this case, God had not promised or revealed his will in the matter. So if it's God's will, that's what I want to do. I need to move over there. I want to move over there, but it's got to be God's will. But God has already promised and revealed his will in regard to the healing and deliverance and the freedom of his people, hadn't he? So we don't need to say, if it be thy will. We need to say, thank you, Father, that you have revealed your will concerning this matter in your word. And I know that I'm asking in your will. And I'm praying in your will. 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You hear that? That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You know, the if in many prayers not only denotes doubt, but it's used as a loophole to escape any possible charge of unbelief or unconfessed sin. And if healing fails to come, that person that's seeking the healing got an excuse. Well, it just wasn't God's will to heal me at that time. He heals others, but although I am blameless, God has shown respect of persons and chooses not to heal me. How many of you ever felt like that? It's always God's will to see that his people are healed. It, because he's not a respecter of persons. And if you say that, you're slandering God. You're charging God foolishly, in other words. you know, a lot of people continue to suffer because they don't understand how God moves to bring about healing. They got their mind set about how God's going to do it. And if the answer don't come according to their plan, sometimes they lose confidence in God. And they feel like that their prayer wasn't heard and it's not going to be answered. And since healing can only come by faith, it's important to understand how God works so that your faith won't be shaken. And a lot of people have said that if God does the healing, it will be instantly complete. That's man's theory there. For Jesus didn't always heal this way. Although he did heal instantly, and even today he heals instantly and completely. It's not been a consistent pattern. But there's other patterns that are also apparent in the ministry of Christ. I knew when I was on the streets praying for folks that a lot of times it would be instantly. A lot of the times it might be an hour later. And a lot of times it's liable to be 2 days later, 3 days later. It's liable to be a week later. It's liable to be one time, one instance, it was 6 weeks later that I got word back that the guy was healed. That was a young man that was in an accident, and we prayed for him. I got it. I pulled him up out of the wheelchair, and I walked around the room with him. I knew God was going to heal him. And his spine was severed. And I got word back 6 weeks later. Said, you remember that boy you prayed for? I said, yeah. He said, he's walking now. I said, well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, so God heals his way, but he always heals, okay? He always heals. It might not be instantly. It might not be a week. It might be 2 weeks. It might be a year or two. I don't know. It's up to God. But he's going to heal, and that's what you need to keep on confessing. I said, he will heal. Remember that nobleman? That his son was sick at Capernaum. He saw Jesus and he told him, he said, come down ere my child die. And what Jesus tell him, he said, go thy way, thy son liveth. According to the words of Jesus, the boy was healed. The work was already done. The case was closed as far as Jesus was concerned. And what happened? That nobleman went on his way home. Them servants came out and told him, said, your boy is fixed, man. He is living. He's healed. And when the father asked him, he said, what hour was it? And he told him, he said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father remembered that it was the same hour that Jesus had said, thy son liveth. Now that nobleman had faith, didn't he? He had faith. It wasn't an instant full restoration to his former state of health and vigor. But the fever left, and he was on the road to recovery. And that's the way it is today in a lot of cases. I've seen where people had a lot of pain, and the pain would leave instantly, but the healing might take several days before it manifested completely. I've seen that a number of times. A lot of times, you can drive that spirit of disease out of somebody. You don't know what's going on in that body. You know what I'm talking about? That disease has left. And God's working in the thing with all them other little old doohickeys that goes on in the body, you know, to make people well. From the very first, I knew that when I prayed for somebody with a disease, like MS or cancer or anything, it doesn't make any difference what it is. I tell them, I said, don't you look at what's going on in the natural because God's working in you and he's healing you even as we speak. I said, he's healing you today. He's healing you tomorrow. He's healing you from now on. And you're healed. You just have to believe it and walk in it and confess it with your mouth. That's what God wants us to do. Has anybody got any questions so far on what we're talking about here? Or any comments?
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, sir.
The story you read last night was talking about, why do you think it took so long for her to get healed?
Who is that?
The story you shared last night
If you remember, they were Nazarenes, and they'd never been taught about faith. I thought about that, Marlon, myself, and I went through that thing three or four times just to make sure that I had it right. They were Nazarenes, and the Nazarenes don't believe that God heals today. They don't believe in the gifts, you know. They don't believe in all that stuff. But she had run across the passages in the Word of God as her mother read them to her, and she'd read them when she could. And she would get those passages, and she had a lot of hope, okay? Her faith, she knew God was going to heal her. She knew it. He was going to heal her, okay? And she kept pressing God, and she kept pressing God. And then, you know, I don't know. At the time that she got healed, she had great faith.
Do you know how old she was when she got healed?
No, I don't. It doesn't say it. I can tell you the year she got healed. It was 1941. And I saw a video of her in 1985, and she looked to be about 60, in her 60s. That was in 85. So if she's still alive today, you know, she'd be way up in her 90s, you know. So I don't know. Her name was Betty Baxter. She's told that story all over the world. She's did just exactly what God told her to do. She'd go wherever he told her to go, and she'd share that testimony. People would get healed, too.
We had heard that story before, and some people had asked me that question, why it took her so long to get healed. That's the reason I ask you that. I thank you for answering that.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I believe is the way they were brought in church, the taught in church was that God doesn't heal. But her and her mother got together, and they figured out that God does heal. They just didn't have, it took them a while to get the faith, you know. And actually, they got the faith when God gave it to them. Remember that? When she went to heaven, that's when the faith hit her. She was standing on the other side of the river there, you know, and she was looking across and seeing heaven. And she saw all the pretty flowers, and everything was nice in heaven. She wanted to go over there because she knew she'd get over there. She wouldn't be bent up anymore. She wouldn't be in pain. She'd be all that agony, be gone. And then Jesus told her, no, said, you got to go back. Remember what she said? She said, oh, Jesus. Man, I don't want to go back. I want to stay up here and get my healing. And she corrected herself real quick, and she said, whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what I'll do, which was good. That was faith. And then that's when the Lord told her, said, you go back. I'm going to heal you. And then he came to her again on August the 14th. He's building her faith, you see, at that time. He said, I'll be back August the 24th. At 3:00 on a Sunday afternoon. Now, she was in great expectation then, wasn't she? Her mama, too. Both of them were. That's faith right there. That's where the faith came in. They knew because Jesus told them. You know, they had read it, but they know now because Jesus told them. And, of course, y'all know what happened. She got healed. And she took the word all over the world. I don't know how many countries she went to, but she went to a bunch of them. And she also went all over the United States too at that time. There's another one that has a similar, it's on the site, I think it's called, her name was Gertrude Trice or something like that. And she had MS. And she went through a struggle about like that too, Marla. Until God gave her the faith. And then when she got that faith, man, she was healed instantly. Here's something else, y'all. I just believe that when Jesus manifest himself in this man-child ministry, that he's going to set a lot of this stuff back in order, and he's going to show us what faith really is. And people that have been struggling for years with certain things, God's going to heal it right away. And it's just going to bam, bam, bam. It's going to be instantaneous. And I believe it. Because when they tell you that, that's going to be the faith. That's going to be the blast of faith we need to get through whatever it is we've been struggling with. Did you have something, Marlon?
No, I just had that question. Thank you for answering that.
Okay, bud. All right. Anybody else got any questions or comments?
I have a comment.
Okay. Is that you, Austin?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
The internet's going in and out, so I was asking.
Yeah,
see
we can
if I
tell.
Can the computer. Does that help?
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yes.
There's something I've used a lot when I was going through trials and tribulation or anything that was like real hard, and it was Hannah's prayer of praise. It's in 1 Samuel verse 2, and it's just the whole, I mean, you mind if I read a small caption of it here?
No, go ahead.
It says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." And I have the verses 3 wrote down on a card. And that's the one that, you know, says, "Stop acting so proud and haughty. Stop speaking with such arrogance." And that's the one that helps me a lot. But all of Hannah's prayer helps me. And beside it, I wrote, "God is sovereign. All that we are is because of him." And that's what I wrote beside Hannah's prayer. But no matter what I'm going through, I always go to 1 Samuel and read Hannah's prayer. Just for the simple fact that if you read the whole thing, I mean, it's just, it's like, for instance, verse 7, it's like, "The Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and lifts others up." And I'll wonder, be like, you know, this person doesn't know God. Why do they have everything they need? And that's what I struggled with at first. But when I read this, it's because it's God's will. You know, you got to be humbled, you know. And one thing that really helped me when I was going through my mess, and the people that were on here Tuesday know what I went through. And it says, "He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dumps." You know, and like,
amen.
And that's just, I mean, come on. And like I said earlier, like, I've got to cut myself off because I'll get fired up. I'll start, I can't help it. And that's why, you know, being here at home, to be honest with y'all, I've struggled with what church to go to. And it's not even that I need to be in one. It's the fact that, you know, my wife's she's a new child of God and everything. And like, I want to get her, you know, in some type of teaching. And I know that God's given me a lot to teach her, but I don't want to take her to the wrong place and her turn from God. I don't know how to explain that. And I'm sure y'all know what I'm talking about, because you have to pick where you wisely. And I talked to my grandpa about this earlier today. And it's just that, you know, I can't go anywhere that doesn't get as fired up as I do. I can't. Because I'll be jumping, hooping, and hollering, dancing a jig, and that's just, you know, like, I was there, you know, preached at a church in Lone Oak, and, you know, he couldn't hold it in, he couldn't hold the Holy Spirit in, you know, like, it's just one of those things, like, I don't know what to do, and I guess I'm kind of asking y'all a question in a way, to, you know, until I get to Tennessee, my communion and go to church at.
Well, it does. The word says, "Forsake not the assembly of with your fellow men, brothers and sisters," and I just paraphrased it. So that's what you're doing now. That's what you're doing now. You'll be doing this on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And also, you're doing it with your brother. You're doing it with me. You're doing it with your Mimi, and other Christians, you know, as you see fit. And that fulfills that obligation. The rest, the other, only other obligation you got now is to study the Word of God. Study the Word of God and pray. And pray. The prayer is our, prayer is what we're here for. Prayer is what the Christian is here for. The angels do their work through our prayers. The Lord showed me a few years ago when we was living in Sweetwater that the angels were just milling about. And they didn't have nothing to do. Can you hear me?
Honestly, Papa, one thing that I struggle with is I feel like she, not because I mean, I get what I need here, and I get what I need in the Word of God, in my Bible. But in order for her to progress with God, she just gave herself to God. You know, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm new in faith with God. But he's given me so much, and he's given me a lot, and I want to learn even more. Like I'm hungry for it. And, but with my wife, you know, she came to God, and I don't know if I told y'all about the spirit that she saw the other night. And my, you know, I went to my grandpa to interpret it a little bit, but she saw a little girl with black eyes and blue face, and my grandpa hit it on the peg. I mean, that was her in sin. You know, and she gave herself to God. And it was amazing. Yeah. And
hey,
hold on.
Hey, I just had a friend get into a wreck. We're about to leave. I gotta go to the hospital.
What? I can't hear you, Blake. It's messing up.
Will y'all pray? You hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Pray for who?
Can I finish this real fast? We'll go.
Caitlin Michelle, she just got in a wreck, and she's at Jacksonville right now.
Papa, who? Can I call you here in a minute?
This? Yeah.
Caitlin
yeah.
Michelle.
Oh, okay. All right. You want to pray for her?
She just hit a car head-on at 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
So she's at right now, and I'm about to go there right now.
Okay.
Would we come to you and we take Caitlin and we lift her up to you? We put everything in your hands. Pray that you keep your angels of protection around her, God. We hope that you come to her in the night. She doesn't know you as well. She should know you, God. We pray that you not only come to her in the night, but you show her your mercy and your grace, God. Some people, it takes a little bit, and we just hope that you heal her. I don't know how bad the extensive injuries are, but in your name there is none. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, Lord, I just ask it that this all bad right. thing, that you bring something good out of this, and that's her salvation, her true salvation, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Go with Blake. Are you going to Austin? Anyway, Lord, we thank you for your protection upon him, Lord.
Yeah, he's going.
Let this not be a trap, Father, and we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you put your soldiers, your warrior angels around them and protect them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that Caitlin's going to be fine in the name of Jesus. And she's also, Lord, we ask that you grant repentance to her and salvation in Jesus' name. Okay, we'll see y'all in a little bit. Give me a call.
I will. I'll let you know how she's doing.
All right.
Tim, bye, Jackie, Leon, all y'all.
Hey,
Dave.
I'll call you as soon as you have time.
Okay. That'll be fine.
Andrew. Bye.
See you later. Bless you.
See you, Peppa. Love you, Peppa.
Love you, too. Okay. Oh. Don't you get fired up with new believers? You just can't shut them up, which is good, I guess. It's good. That's, you ought to be at the house when either one of them are there. I mean, it's constant questions, you know, and I don't know the answers to everything, but I try to give them something, you know.
Makes me feel like I'm ready for the rocker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell you, it's a hoot. It's a hoot. Yeah, it's something going on all the time around my house when I'm there. My goodness. Well, praise God, you know. Praise God. I hope this encourages y'all about the people that you're praying for. Because it's been a blessing for me. It's really been a blessing for me. They look kind of light, don't they?
Sound alike.
Yeah, they do. They were born as identical. Austin's a little more stockier than Blake. Oh, he was. Blake's stocking up there a little himself. Anyway.
Yeah, and they're growing strong in the Lord. You just see that.
Yeah, well, they feed off of one another, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Now Blake is the prophet, you see. he's gonna teach Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
he's been a Christian for 30 days. Which is good. I love it. I get a thrill out of it. I'll call Jeanette and he'll pick up the phone and it's an hour and a half later before I get to talk to Jeanette. Just the way it is. All right. You know, anybody got any questions about what we've been talking about or any comments?
Yeah, it's an interesting observation about what's going on because we see, like you were talking about, some people get healing instantly, others hours later, some days later, some weeks, some months, some, you know, many months, mm-hmm. and then it doesn't have a set time frame, but we definitely see what you're pointing to. It's a matter of the faith that's required. I don't know if it's a requirement, how God requires. We don't know what He's looking for, or something that in that direction. You know, how what is our level? But at the same time, I've seen where when Jesus was on the scene, it was pretty instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm thinking it has a lot to do with the presence of God, how much for the presence of God is going to be there at the time. So, because, you know, when Jesus was on the scene, the Father was with him everywhere he went. Not that he's not with us, but I think there was I have no doubt I can say there was a stronger presence with Jesus than probably with most anybody else that's been on this world today. Maybe I'm wrong, but the sense that the Lord, our Lord Jesus, when he walked, the Father was definitely everywhere he went. And not that he's not with us, but he has that union that nobody else had with the Father at the time. And not that we're not going to receive that, and because we know this man-child is coming. All I can assume is when the man-child comes, well, what can we expect to see? We can expect to see the same thing we saw when Jesus walked, I would hope. Otherwise, it would be hard to determine that's a man-child. So we should see some the presence of God heavily around this ministry. And so at the same time, these instantaneous healings should be manifest. But then again, we see that Torben Sondergaard, you know, I haven't had a chance to watch some of his videos lately, but looks like he has plenty of success out there.
Who is that?
That Torben Sondergaard. I haven't seen his videos lately, but seems like he's always pushing them out there. And that's his ministry to a degree. Well, bringing the Word of God, keep getting people into the kingdom. I'm not sure how it compares to this UVM, you know.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about him. I do know that I just don't know. I don't know much about him.
I see him more as an evangelist pushing the word. not necessarily giving them everything they need, but getting them started in the kingdom.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's about. Now,
I see pain leaving. I see headaches, stuff like that. And that's good. It brings people into the kingdom.
Michael?
One thing that go ahead, Leon.
I was just going to say what Dave was talking about, where Jesus was healing everybody instantly, would be the latter day outpouring of the latter day rain. That's what David says. It would be the latter day rain. You got the early rain and the latter rain. And the period that we're in right now is the early rain, and we do see healings, and we do see a lot of them, but not to the degree that Jesus saw. And that would be a latter rain ministry, where Jesus said that you'll do greater works than I've done. So that's coming. That's when the man child shows up and all of this bursts out, so to speak.
Amen. Now, let's take a look here just a minute, if y'all would, because I want to make a point here. What did Jesus do differently than what we do? He spent hours overnight praying in the presence of God. Now, I'm taken back about to my memory of John G. Lake's ministry. I've read a lot about that man, and I do know this, that he spent a lot of time in the presence of God, praying and seeking his help. And he would teach his, he called them technicians, his healing technicians. He'd teach his healing technicians, you stay with those people that come here for healing until they get healed. You don't leave them until they get healed. In other words, they'd come every day until they got healed. They would teach on faith every day. They would encourage them every day until they got healed. And that may be something, it's a lot of it's not instantaneous, don't get me wrong. Even Jesus had one time where he had to pray twice, you know. Not to say that he was any less the Son of God than he was. But I think he was just showing us something, you know, that sometimes you just have to pray and keep on believing and keep on believing. I believe I believe that's what this man child is going to come on the scene like Leon was talking about. He's going to be caught up to the throne a couple of times, you know. He's listening to God. He's listening to the Father. He's listening to Jesus tell him everything to do. And like you said, Leon, he's going to be anointed. He's going to have that anointing. You remember when Peter walked through the crowd and they wanted to get under his shadow? Well, that was the anointing that they were getting in, the anointing of God. And throughout history, there's been people that have always gotten into the presence of God. And it seemed like when they'd get up on the platform to speak after being in the presence of God for days, when they would pray that the anointing of God would fall and the spirit of repentance would hit them. And they just fall out and cry out to God in revival. And people would be healed. They would be delivered. They'd be set free. It's because of the men and women of God staying in the presence of God. Charles Finney had a man that went before him in the cities to pray for the city before Finney got there. And his name, they called him Father Nash. And he'd get him a room somewhere, And by the time Finney would get there, the proprietor would go to him and said, "There's something wrong with that man." Said he's, "Man, there's crying going on. He's throwing snot everywhere, you know, and all this kind of stuff and praying." And Finney said, "That's just Father Nash. He's laboring over the souls in this city." And he did that up in, what's that city up in New York? Rockport? What is it? Some of y'all, Rock something. There's over 100,000 people that were saved in a crusade. And Father Nash went there 2 weeks early and started praying for the people in that city that weren't saved. And over 100,000 people got saved in that revival he had, because the man of God was interceding on their behalf. And all Finney had to do was give the gospel, and people just come running because the power of God was on them. And I believe that. I believe that if we stay in the power, if we stay, we proved that Monday night. We prepared for Monday night. Yeah, go ahead, Leo.
I was just remembering this verse, that this is a very real subject in my life right now. And I keep going back to this verse in James, where it says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, or maybe trials or sicknesses or whatever you want to call it, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience." And it seems like there's a very fine line between seeing patience as just waiting on God, and just saying, "Well, Lord, when's your timeline? Because everybody that I took that's around me, they keep telling me, "Oh, well, you just have to wait for the timing of God, or you gotta, you know, maybe it's not God's will," or, you know, and I go back and I read this verse, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and then it says, "And let patience have its perfect work." And I'm thinking, what kind of work is it supposed to do in me? You know, it's not just me being patient, but it's supposed to do something in me, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And that, I guess what I'm trying to say is, and maybe I'm wrong in my thinking, and I'm hoping to get correction here if that's the case, but like in my situation, it's a real situation. I know that I have the answer from the Lord concerning the healing that I'm seeking for my son. I know he is healed. I confess it 100%. Through, you know, I put his life on the line before the Lord and before everybody, you know, and God walked us through that. And so, and deep inside my heart, I know that he is absolutely healed, and he'll be completely manifest, full restoration, not a sign of sickness in him, you know. But at the same time, it's been 6 months. Now, I'll go back, and I'll look at these 6 months of trials and temptations, and I can see an amazing work of God in my heart, an amazing work of God in my mind, in my life, in my family. And I'm thinking, like, this patience is having, it is working, it's making a perfect work in me, it's creating Christ in me through this trial. As I continue to believe, I'm now, the fact that this healing hasn't been manifested causes me to seek Jesus more and fill my heart with Jesus more and kill my flesh. And as I continue to believe and confess his healing and praise him for it, Jesus is growing up in me. And I know that that healing will just be manifested instantly as soon as, you know, that patience has done its perfect work, which is create Christ in me. Is that a proper way to think about it, or am I missing something?
Well, that doesn't line up with the Word of God, because he says, "By your stripes you are healed." And so what we do, we don't believe that God's working patience in us, even though it already is. We just thank him for it, and we praise him for the healing.
Not that he's working patience in me, but the patience is doing its perfect work in me. It says, let patience have its perfect work.
Okay.
That may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Well, I know that I'm lacking in a lot of things. You know, and I mm-hmm. see that there is a work being done in me through this entire trial as I confess God's healing and believe in it 100%.
Okay.
But, you All know, right. I mean, in my heart, I know it's done mm-hmm. by Jesus' stripes. I am healed and my son is healed. I know it. I confess mm-hmm. it. I
Amen.
Don't doubt
we believe it, will you? No, I don't think you're wrong in that. If you're believing that away, that he's that patience is working a good work in you, as you said. Is that what you said?
Right.
Yeah. Then if you don't believe that God's working patience in you with this not healing your son, that's a mistake.
No. It's specifically verse
yeah.
4.
Okay.
Patience, it's perfect work in you.
Okay.
So
yeah.
It's doing something in me, not me learning to be patient or, you know, waiting on God or, you know, I'm not waiting on God to heal my son.
Amen.
I'm just being filled with the Lord through this
okay.
trial.
Well, that's
I'm
good.
Him, I'm becoming more Christ-like. And then, you know, as I profess this, I trust that the manifestation will absolutely be there.
Amen.
It's taken me 6 months. I'm not, you know, discouraged by that, but I don't know.
Amen. Well, Baron, did you listen to the broadcast last night?
I haven't finished it yet. I just started your part.
Yeah, well, that little girl... She lived up into her teens anyway, with all of that pain that she had and believing God. And so, you know, just like we talked about earlier, they had a problem with faith because they weren't taught that, but that's another story. But just remember, she suffered a long time with that. And I wanted to encourage people with the length of her suffering, how long? So when we're still like you are, you're believing for your son, and you're right. It's going to happen here, and I believe very shortly, if it's not already started any, and it has, I believe, because that's what God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that it's already done. It's already taken care of back at the cross, and we just keep on believing. But I did that to encourage people that have lingered on with some illness or whatever, some malady that they have, because she suffered for up 10 years with that stuff. And there's been people in the, even in the fellowship here that have suffered with certain types of illnesses that they're believing for. That they're believing for, but they're learning what faith is as well, too, you know. So we all have something we're believing God for. Go ahead, okay. Leo.
So I'll have, you know, people call me, and everybody's, of course, very interested in our case, and they'll ask, well, how's Josiah? How's your son? And I'll say, well, by faith we trust him; he's healed, you know. And they'll say, well, what does that mean? And I say, well, in Jesus Christ, he's healed. And they'll say, well, is he having seizures? Well, yeah. You know, is he crying? Yeah. Is he throwing up? Yeah. Is he still hurting? Yeah. So it's like, you say he's healed, but then they keep asking you all these other questions, and you're pretty much like, well, what am I supposed to say? No.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to come over to my house, and okay, I'll tell them, no, he's not having seizures, and then he has a seizure. I'm like, well, he's still healed.
Well, that's,
they think you're
crazy. I know. I know.
But it's like, is it okay to answer their questions according to how they see it? I mean, like, I know in my heart, you know, it's gotten to the point in my heart that, you know, he will throw up on me from my head to my toe. I will be completely covered in all this slime and puke and everything. And it doesn't bother me one bit. Like, the Lord just took that away from me. I used to get very disgusted. I'd get angry. I'd get frustrated, upset, you know, because it would happen over and over. And there's so much laundry, such a mess on furniture. You know, the floor gets all nasty. You have to clean so much. But I begged the Lord. I cried out to the Lord, confessing a sin, you know, that this would be in my heart. And God removed that weight from me, you know. And
praise right God. Now, thank right you, Jesus. Now,
cover me in puke 10 times a day, and it doesn't bother me one bit. I smile and I say, son, you're healed. Jesus heals you. And I thank you, Lord, you know, and I'll smile about it, and I have such peace about it. It's unbelievable. I can't, I you know, 2 months ago, I could never imagine that I'd be there.
Yeah.
So I clearly see that God has done a great work in me. And he's doing that work in my family, my kids, my other kids, and my wife. And so I, you know, I don't even notice when he has a seizure. I don't even notice, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'm free from it because I see him as a healed boy.
Amen.
You know, I've confessed it enough and prayed so much that it's now basically in my mind, it's programmed to think that he's healed. Other people are not. And so they ask me and I say, well, yeah, he's still having a seizure. Is that wrong? Or should
well,
I just keep saying
I can tell
no?
I can tell you what a little story about Kenneth Hagin when he got healed. He says, I got healed off the bed of affliction, but it'd take him hours to go down downtown where he just lived, just right downtown almost, in this little town that he lived in. But he'd have to drag himself down there. And they said, well, how you feeling today, Kenny? And he said, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. I'm healed. And they said, well, you don't look healed. It don't make any difference what your eyes looking at. I'm healed. And the next day he'd come in, he'd be a little bit better. And then the next day he'd be a little bit better. Well, how you feeling today, Kenny? I'm healed in Jesus. Well, you don't look healed. Well, I am, bless God, because the word says I am. And that's the way he had that steadfast faith. And he'd keep telling them, I'm healed. And directly, it wouldn't be long before he was walking down. Then he'd be running to work, going to work.
So I should even tell everybody else that Joseph.
He says, confess it before men, doesn't he? Confess it before men. Do that. They said, no, that boy is healed. He's healed. Well, it looked like he's throwing up over there. That's just, you know, he's healed. He's healed. Well, he's having a fit over there. It don't make any difference what your eyes are seeing. That boy's healed. Because the word says it. Look, let me show you in the word what it says here. Now, you're going to believe what you see, or you're going to believe what the word of God says. That's the way I would go at it.
Okay.
That's the way I did with them, those twins. I did the same thing. Well, what do you think about Blake and Austin out there doing all that dope? I said, don't make no difference what you're looking at, boy. Them two boys, they're going to be brought into the kingdom. Blake could come up on the back porch, on the back deck, and I'd say, there he is, a preacher. That's a preacher man right there. He said, oh, Papa. And he'd be half drunk, you know. That's a preacher man. Didn't make any difference. That's the way I do it. Speak the word of God. And watch what happens. You speak that word of God, confess it before men, he said. I had a lady, this guy called me, and he said, oh, man, said, Mary, the doctors told her she had 6 weeks to live. Just some kind of wild disease that she has accumulated. Said, I don't know what happened. And the Lord told me to call you. I said, okay, let's pray. And so we prayed. And the doctor would come in there and tell her, said, this is happening and this is happening. And here's what Marilyn would say. Marilyn would say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm healed by the power of the blood of Jesus. And she said that, and she walked out of there in 2 days, completely healed. And the doctor sitting back there scratching her head, not even understanding what went on. So that's what I mean. You got to confess it with your mouth, and that makes God proud. That make look. There's old Leo down there. He's confessing this, boys. Watch him. He's going to do it. Watch what these people say to him. They're going to try to come at him, but he's going to confess my word. Go down there. Go down there and touch Josiah. I'm just saying.
As I said, I've been attacked. You know, just I'll confess, and people will say, "Well, that's crazy. You know, he ain't healed. What are you telling? People need to be praying for you. You're telling people that he's healed, but so they don't pray for you." And I'm like, "What do I? I don't know."
Well, I've already prayed the prayer of faith. You don't need to pray now. Just thank God it's done. That's what I tell them. It's already done, brother or sister, you know. Go ahead, Dave. You had something you want to say?
Yeah, you yesterday when you were reading from Betty Baxter, her testimony, when she seen Jesus and she mentioned all the pain that she was in and all the terrible stuff she was experiencing, and she's kind of insinuating, you know, Lord, this pain, you don't know what I'm going through. He says, oh, yeah. He basically said, yeah, I do. He says, I felt all that on the cross. I took your pain. I took all that, all your sickness. I felt everyone's sickness and everybody's pain. I felt that. I took that at the cross. So the reality is putting that in our mind, going, wait a minute. He went to the cross. He took all that. He felt it. He experienced what we think we're experiencing and we're going through. But he already experienced that and took that for us at the cross, so he wouldn't have to. So we have to remember that he did that. He did take that at the cross 2,000 years ago. He did actually experience what we experienced, all the pain, all the suffering, for us. Because every one of us, he had experienced their difficulties at that cross for us. So we don't have to. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to sit there and, like you're saying, hey, I still see my son going through this, or I'm still going through this and feel that. The Lord still took all that. And I want to listen to the complete testimony, too, of this lady. I didn't get a chance to get through it. But to know that if he took it all, we just kind of confess it. Yeah, she's healed. I'm healed. We're all under the benefit of Christ at the cross. Because he did. He took all that for us at the cross. And we don't have to. All we have to do is lay it at the cross and let him have it, because he already took it. And to realize that's what he did, and just stay on that confession. The people understand what that is all about. And you're doing the mighty thing right now, and you're confessing it with people. They may not understand it, but then maybe they don't understand what salvation is either. And they have to hear that message. No, Jesus took that at the cross. He said he took it. I don't have to disagree with that. I disagree with it. And that's what he did. He's my Lord. He took it. He's my Savior. So I believe the Savior. I'm not going to believe what other people say. You may have a difficulty understanding this, but that's what the Savior did. That was his job. And that's what he did. And he came and did it. I'm just believing that. So that's what we are. We're the believers. So he said, I'm a believer. This is what I believe. It's what Jesus said. I have to hang on that. Amen. Let's hang on those words.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you want to say something, Andrew?
Just praying there, you know, through that conversation. Just praying through that conversation, because you know what it says there in the gifts of the Spirit, so I don't think you have a problem with that at all.
Yep.
There's a gift of the Spirit there for you, and you have it. And it's the Spirit of Christ, and he comes into you, and it's that Spirit. I'd like to thank the people who actually told me to look up some praise and worship music I went into Rob, and you see, I'm all alone here. I don't go to a church. I wanna praise and worship with me and God together. And I just went to that Robin Mark's Garments of Praise, and right after on Tuesday, and I was just like really like giddy, like a little kid after all of that.
Praise God!
This new life that that God has given, you know, to all of us, and of course to the new people, to Blake and Austin there, you know, and I think, you know, you just have to celebrate what the Lord's doing. And it was so neat that I went to work. We all have a computer that we share. So I said, I'm going to bring up these praise and worship music just before I start my work here, start my day off right here, you know. So I start bringing up them Robin Marks and all this stuff, you know, and I did that yesterday and I did it today. And people are coming in and they're looking, what the heck is he doing, you know. I'm just smiling and saying hi, you know. And of course, some of them are even rolling their eyes at me, and I'm going, okay, that's expected. I might as well be blessed for that, too. Anyway, a repair guy came in, and he was looking at the building today, you know, and he was an Oriental young man, you know, in his 20s, and he came upon my little corner that I sit in, and I had my Bible there open and everything, you know, and I had my, I'm trying to memorize that whole 13th chapter there, the love chapter of Corinthians there. And he noticed this, and he had a very heavy accent for English. So he didn't know English very well, but he probably had an engineering degree, because that's what he was checking in the building anyway. And, he started talking to me about the Bible, and I, oh boy, I couldn't stop after that. Started talking, and we got into a conversation about the Sabbath there, and I said, you know, you should see what it says about the Sabbath in Hebrews chapter 4 there, you know. And I went to the verses, and I said, look at the first verse here. You mean you only have to wait till Sunday? And I said, no, you don't have to wait till Sunday. You know, that's the Sabbath chapter there. And then he finally said, you know, I guess it isn't a day, you know, because we're entering into a rest, you know. And it was just really exciting talking to this guy. And he was excited to hear this stuff. And he was happy and smiling, and he went away. And it was a contagion, you know. And so the three worship songs there were Robin Mark's Garments of Praise, the Mercy Seat one there, and the Big Daddy Weaver Redeemed. And I was getting verses popping into my head on these 1 John 3:2, and you know what it says there, that we're waiting for something to come on what we're going to be like, how much more we're going to be in Christ. And that was exciting, you know. And of course, he popped two and three verses in, you know, that 2 and 3. And of course, 2 Corinthians 2:3, because, you know, I'm always thinking about that ink, you know, that spiritual ink that you're made of, that these apostles wrote in the word, that this is for you too, you know, not just back then, it's for us today, this 3:2 in 2 Corinthians, you know. And it's just exciting that's the word of God as it was inspired to them. And this written with the living God Spirit, you know, that's not in stone or in ink. That's the Spirit of God that's written upon you. And that's exciting that those 2, 3, and 2 verses, 1 John. And today I actually listened to another song by Robin Marks called Revival. And, you know, in the song, you know, it says, we are waiting. And I thought of that verse there, 1 John 3:2. In the Redeemed song, it was, not done with me yet. He said that, and then that verse popped in my head there, and I was going, Matt Everneek, this is the first time I've ever listened to Big Daddy Weaver's Redeemed song, you know, and I can see why that's going through his head ever and over again. And I just excited, you know.
It's, amen.
I turned back to being in my 20s.
Praise God. Well, praise God. That's awesome.
Like that.
That
hey,
is awesome.
Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Malcolm here. I just was thinking about what you're saying. You're just kind of by yourself there.
Oh, I get so bored here. I get so lonely. I was dancing
here. Well, I wish we had more time tonight. The other night I was praying and asked, you know, not really complaining, I don't know. I was just bringing it before the Lord. Back in 2007, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 2008. I had been with a very small Pentecostal group that was really, I mean, we had total freedom to worship the Lord, and I just became an abject worshiper, you know. I was just going all out, and hand motions, and you know, the whole works. But I was so happy because I felt so set free from my previous situation. Worshiping, and I just loved it. But right about February of 2008, the Lord made it very clear that I had to get out of there because of the false revival stuff. And I've never been back in a fellowship since, other than here with, you know, on the fellowship call. So I sorely miss all that. And I was thinking the other day, it'd be so nice to go somewhere, even though I may not agree with everybody, just so I could just be with them and worship the Lord again, you know, I may not like all the songs or whatever, but still I just miss that. And also, I used to work with, I know some other folks on here have done this too, worked in the healing rooms years and years ago. And I just loved, as a group, we would pray for people.
Amen.
To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or to be healed or whatever. And, you know, when you have like five or six people in a room praying for somebody and ministering to them, it's so cool because, you know, I mean, not everybody had everything, but the Lord would just bring to different people's minds things that that person needed to hear. And you end up with this awesome ministry that just, the Lord is just dealing with stuff with that person that came to get prayed for, you know, whether it's healing or different things. But there's always, the Lord just brings up, gets right at the core of the issue, you know, and when you have a group like that praying, led by the Spirit. So I was just thinking, I mean, it's on the phone conference call here like we have, we can kind of do that, but it's not the same as in person, you know, when you're in a group. So I really miss that environment where you have people working together close, you know, physically. And I mean, you're all there together ministering to somebody, laying hands on them. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, let me ask you something, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to minister to somebody about the Lord?
Well, yes. But it's, you know, occasionally, but it's by myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite the same.
Well, here's what I used to do. Once the Lord took me out of the churches,
uh-huh.
Got out of all the fellowships, I made my own fellowship. I'd go out and talk to people. I'd go to the homeless. I'd go to the homeless and we'd talk about the Lord and talk about the truth of the gospel, you know. And after a while, you know, you all are being taught the same way. And that's with the Word of God in your hand.
What is fun is going to Walmart and praying for people, and I found people to be very receptive.
Yep.
They're not in a like a church environment. That, you know, people obviously will wonder, you know, why are you offering to pray for me type thing. But other than that, you know, there's nothing other than security cameras, you know. So,
amen.
But by the way, I've been in correspondence with some folks I used to do evangelism with back about 4 years ago, 45, and we were young people, of course, very ardent about the Lord, praying all the time. We saw all kinds of miracles going on, even though it was a denominational setting. It's just amazing what the Lord, how he'll work, you know, with people that are just wanting to trust him and don't know any better, you know. But I've been disappointed with some folks I've run into from that evangelistic group I was with. They've become so denominationally oriented that they just have idols now. And even though they have a lot of wonderful memories, I found out that I was listening to David's message last night, Wednesday night message, and I just felt like it was time for me. I felt like it wasn't the right time for me to confront them about the idols they had, and there were a number of issues that it was frustrating, and I wanted to say, do you recognize that you're not humbling yourself to the Word of God, that you have these idols? But I just felt like if I were to say something, the idols were so heavy and strong in their life that it would just be, I would just, you know, end up hitting a brick wall. And so I really felt, even though I'm so very, very sad about what I'm running into, I just felt that instead of saying something directly and warning them directly, I just really felt convicted. I need to just pray and earnestly intercede for those people that the Lord would cut through all those, you know. Well, I would, you know how you pray, you bind their idols, you bind their, you know, the religious spirits, you bind those things and then send the Spirit of the Lord in to start breaking up the fallow ground. But, you know, I was really impressed with David's message that we need to be praying, and it's very effective. We don't realize how effective it is. I don't think we always realize how effective it is to pray and bring it before the Lord. And anyway, we're out of time. I just wish I could pursue this a little bit more, but
well, we can next Tuesday. We just talk about it. That'd be fine.
Go ahead, Michael.
One thing I did want to bring out, you said they started taking on the denominational idols that they were in. That's one of the drawbacks about finding a fellowship. Like Blake and Austin was talking about, and I told them, I said, you know, a little leaven's the whole bread, and when you go into a setting, you're going to take on those spirits, you know. And after a while,
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah,
and I mean that's so deadly. And it's really sad because it just destroys the purity of the gospel, what the Lord is teaching you. You start taking in this garbage.
Mm-hmm.
These idols are, I mean, some of these people I'm running into are so hardened. And I'll bring up a ton of scripture, and they'll say, but what about? And it's all back to the paradigms and the traditions and the absolute garbage that has no biblical basis.
Mm-mm.
So I just let it go. I don't try to say, you've got idols, repent now or your history.
Yeah. Y'all better repent. You're going to hell, you know. I'm just saying.
No, I can't. So this person said, well,
I don't
our
that
church
works.
This church is fasting and praying, and we're going to be fasting and praying all this, you know, this one day. I said, there's nothing wrong with fasting and praying. Go for it.
Okay. Hey, Malcolm, why don't you dismiss us with prayer?
Okay. And by the way, I don't know if I can be on Tuesday. I've got a pretty heavy schedule, especially in the evening.
All right. We'll talk about you then.
go for it. Okay, I'll pray.
Yeah,
yes, go sir.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Okay, Lord, I just like to thank you for what we do have on this fellowship here. Lord, we for Andrew, myself, others that are kind of feeling, you know, left out on a limb. You said, Lord, that you, Lord, I do ask that you will fill us with you, and that we will learn to just be ardent worshipers with you, even if it's just by ourselves at this point. That we will revel in your presence. That we won't, though we cry out for fellowship, help us at this point to be fellowshipping with you, to be guided by you, and that you will direct us to those people of peace that are looking for you and waiting for you, and that you have brought to the point where they want to hear about you. And I pray you will, that your spirit will be guiding us, will be listening to you, will be hearing your voice, and we'll be able to recognize your direction when we're in the store or walking around somewhere, that we'll know who to talk to, and we won't be spinning our wheels on people who are not people at peace yet. So I do thank you for bringing us quickly into a fellowship situation where we can help others, and that you'll work out all of our family arrangements so that'll happen and be okay. And we also want to bring before you again all of us, our families, our wives, husbands, children, and brothers, sisters, parents, all the people we've been praying for, Lord. We thank you for not forgetting them, because you remember them much more than we do. And fill us with faith for these people, so that when things just go kind of screwy, that we will remember your promises, and that you'll fill us with faith so that we don't condemn them or see the, or take to heart the things that would make us think that your promises aren't true, because they are true. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, I guess that's what I'm saying. Lord, I ask you bless Michael and David and the other folks there in Tennessee, and also you bless the rest of us, Lord, that we will truly seek you with all of our heart, everything in our heart, mind, and soul, and spirit will be all totally for you, that all of our idols will be crushed and destroyed, and we'll see to that, and you will see to that in us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Malcolm.